Good morning, church. So many of you were here last night. This whole place was packed last night. From all three congregations, we all had an exciting time since the pandemic. I think it's the first time we celebrate Christmas together, the whole church. And there were lots of snacks. I even got some home. And then last Sunday, about 40 of us were at the banquet. It was also packed, the restaurant. We have exactly 350 people. So we expect to cover some of the empty seats, but we don't have to, because we have exactly, we fill every table without any empty space. So it was an exciting time of the year. The Advent, we're waiting for one more week for Christmas. And this morning we're going to look at two seniors. They're also waiting for the first Christmas. Luke. Okay. Right. Okay. Just not working. Living hope. Okay. I thought by now we should have voice activated remote. Next. Not quite. Okay. Maybe I'll just tell Nesta to tell next. is this on? Okay, let's try again. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to move too many times. Okay. And today we're going to look at two seniors. These are really seniors. They're almost 100 years old. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised the God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." We spend a lot of time waiting. We spend at least 4 weeks. I mean, we start preparing the candles a few weeks ago. So every year, the beginning of December, we put out these candles. We will light up one each week. As you can see, there's one left, but two left for us to light up next week. So for Christmas, we usually maybe spend a few months in December to wait, to go to all the dinners. There'll be more dinners. There'll be a Modern Family lunch this afternoon. So I'm going to join the Modern Family lunch. So we're going to go to all these parties, celebrations. We spend a lot of time in waiting. For Christmas, we wait a few weeks. But there are many things you have to spend more than a few weeks, few months to wait, like trying to see a doctor or trying to get an ultrasound. X-ray, you don't have to wait too long. But for ultrasound, last time I waited almost half a year to wait. It seems to be we spend a lot of time in waiting. And, okay. So what do you find yourself most frequently have to wait in line. So this is obviously a study done in the U.S. So, and 41% of the time, our time spent in waiting in the retail store, waiting to pay. So we're always very impatient, isn't it? When I go to grocery shopping with Cynthia, usually she tells me, okay, I'm going to join this line. You go and check the other line. So see, any other lines is shorter. So when I wave her over to that line, and someone else usually just cut in, and then we end up, we have to wait same amount of time or even longer. So the next thing you have to wait the most is pharmacy, restaurant. So after Sunday, a lot of you go to restaurant to eat. I hate waiting at the restaurant because I'm just not prepared. I have to pay and then I have to wait. Where the bank, I guess we don't go to the banks a lot now with the ATMs. And then 7.8% of the time we wait for doctors. So obviously this is not done in Canada. We're at the airport, a government agency trying to get a passport 2 years ago. In the way, long time. Wait for other many events, school. So we spend a lot of time in waiting. And we are very impatient, isn't it? And I noticed that they have changed the clock. When you watch YouTube, usually they have a clock at the bottom right-hand side, how long you have to wait before this commercial you can skip, right? So you always stare at the little clock at the... So I don't know I don't know why they put the clock there, but no one will look at the commercial. Everybody looking at the clock. Now you can skip, right? So we were very impatient. And I don't know how many of you, when you use your microwave, you could not wait until the time is up until you open. You always about 2 seconds. Okay, that's it. You open it. You cannot wait that 2 more seconds. I just can't wait the 2 more seconds. So why didn't you put less time in there? Right? So no, that's 2 seconds. I don't open the door. And then we always seems to be in a hurry. And someone from a new immigrant from Hong Kong told me that, Pastor Norman, I finally bought a new car. I said, great, congratulations. But to wait for a year before I am number 57 on the waiting list for this car. My goodness. That's why I kept my car for 20 years. And I don't want to go buy a new car. We spend a lot of time in waiting. And we are very impatient. And when we wait, it depends on what you're waiting. If you're waiting to see a doctor, I mean, you have to wait, right? But if you're waiting in the restaurant, usually I just go to another one. To me, it's not worth the time. And here are two seniors we're going to look at this morning, Simeon and Anna. They've been waiting for a long time, but they have a purpose. Like when we wait for something, either to pay at the retail store, at the supermarket, way to see our loved one. We have something or a person that we look forward to. And for Simeon, he spent his whole life waiting and looking for the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the comforter. When you have a target, when you have somebody, a reason to wait for, then you are willing to hang in there to wait because there is hope. Many young people, there's a study done, many young people in the U.S., they suicide because they see no hope in their future. And when there's hope, that there's energy, that we have the will to continue to wait. And some years ago, there was a research done, an experiment to test two groups of laboratory rats. They put one group of rats in a tub of water and just left them there. And in about less than an hour, they all die or drown. And then for another group of the rats, they put it in a tub of water. And then every so often, they take them out and rescue them. and then they will survive. Then they put them back in there. And then for that group of rats, they could stay on the water for over a day because there's hope for this group of rats. They know that someone is going to rescue them. So they have this hope and will to live. So for us, we need to have a purpose, a will, or a target for us to wait. And for Simeon, he's waiting for the first Christmas, for the coming of the Messiah. And for all, most of us, when we wait and if we don't have a purpose, we will be very impatient. So the same study showed that over half the people thinking that waiting is a waste of time, thinking that waiting is totally useless. About 56% of the people think that there's no point in waiting. But if we have a target, a purpose, then we have this will to continue to wait. And there's another senior, Anna. Anna's the daughter of Phanuel. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. So she became a widow at a very young age. And then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple. There are different interpretations how old she was when she met Jesus. Some said she may be 84 and she saw the baby Jesus. But some calculated differently. And then she's about 101 years old when she met baby Jesus in the temple. But whatever it is, she's in advanced age. She's really old, about 100 years old. It's quite a few seniors in the Cantonese congregation. They are 100 years old. So last month, I visited a sister from the Cantonese congregation. She's over 100 years old, very healthy. She comes to worship every week in person. In person. So if you're less than 100 years old, you better have a very good reason not to come in person. And she can walk probably faster than me. So later on in our time, she will be coming with her daughter. She come to worship every Sunday in person. She's been in this church for close to 50 years. Very faithful servant. Actually, there are quite a few seniors in the Cantonese congregation. They are over 100 years old. So we're looking at Anna here. She's over 100 years old. No, it depends on how you calculate. And she is waiting and serving patiently, faithfully. So there are a lot of brothers and sisters who serve in this church for a long time. Our church is 60 years old, about, and quite a few of you are here actually longer than me, been here. They serve faithfully. And as they are getting old, a lot of them are not actively taking up ministries, but they come. They come to prayer meetings. They continue to support financially the church. They pray for us. They come to worship. And because they see the reason for their ministry. And if we have the hope, then we can continue to wait and to serve in church. And I love the penis cartoons. If you go to my office, you see all these little figurines, characters. There's Charlie Barnes, Snoopy's. I love those characters. And then I read this cartoon, Lucy and Linus. And you know how Lucy is always kind of a bit grouchy lady. And then Linus is the quiet guy. So Lucy and Linus were watching TV. And then Lucy said to, and Lucy is always a little bully. And then Lucy said to Linus, "Go and get me a glass of water." So Linus looked at her, a little bit surprised. "Why should I do anything for you. You never do anything for me, which is true. Lucy doesn't, not exactly a person who like to help other people. Well, and then Lucy said, on your 75th birthday, and I promise you I bake you a cake. So Linus got up, headed to the kitchen and said, life is more hopeful when you have something to look forward to. And you know, there's a lot of theology in the Peanut cartoons. So when you have something you look forward to, then life is more meaningful, more hopeful. And while we're waiting for the Messiah, for us today, we're not only waiting for the Christmas next Monday, we're looking for the return, the second Christmas, the next coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are like Simeon. Simeon was waiting for the first Christmas, but today for us, we are waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus. We are also like Simeon, Anna. We are in a waiting period. We are in God's waiting room. And we have to be prepared, just like Simeon, Anna. While they're waiting, they don't just go and drink and be merry. They wait faithfully in the Lord. And there was a man, as we read in Jerusalem, Simeon. He was righteous and devout. Righteous. He treats people well. He loved people. And he loved God. He feared the Lord. And that's how we should be while we are waiting in this period, waiting for the return, waiting for us. When we see our Lord Jesus, we have to love people, love God, fear our Lord. And he, Simeon, is a person, a man that's filled with the Holy Spirit. In these few verses, 25, 6, and 7, in these few verses, the word Holy Spirit, to be filled by the Holy Spirit, was mentioned three times. He is a man, the Holy Spirit was upon him. He was filled with the Spirit. The next verse, and it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. He's inspired, revealed by the Holy Spirit. And how did he know that the baby Jesus is going to come to the temple that day? And he came in the Spirit into the temple. In these three verses, it's mentioned three times, he is a man that's filled with the Spirit. He listened to the voice of the Spirit. Not days, but months, years, all his life. It's interesting that the angels, when they announced the birth of Jesus, they did not go to the downtown of Bellevue. They did not go to a big crowd of people, make a big announcement. He went to a small place, and only very few people can hear the angel's voice. Today, while we're waiting for Christmas, preparing ourselves, waiting for the return of Christ, we have to have a quiet spirit so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can guide us as we go one step each day closer to seeing our Lord. Either before our death, we see him, or after our death, we will see him. But we have to be prepared. We have to listen. And while we are waiting, do not retire. We should not retire like Simeon and Anna. They may retire from work, but it's just a transition. It's a whole life of ministry. When we retire from our vocation, our job, there are other ministries we can serve in the church, like being a model to the young people, being a counselor to the younger people, and helping the younger people, praying for them, praying for the church, not just planning. We should plan for cruise and all those, but not just those. Don't think that when you retire, that's it. I finished all my church work now. Now I give to the young people. I move on, go to live another life. We can go to cruise, go to tours. Yes, we do all that, vacations, but we can continue to serve the Lord, just like Simeon and Anna. Anna, as I said, she's probably 100 years old. She's serving night and day with fastings and prayers. It's not easy to be a widow in those days with no family to support you. But Anna, there wasn't much talk about her in the Bible, only a few verses. But from these few verses, we can tell that she's a very God-fearing woman. She stayed in that, doesn't mean that she lived there, but she go there all the time, serving night and day, and fasting and praying. We may not be able to as we go at older. So I was thinking when I get really old, I probably don't want to preach up here, put people to sleep, probably be too weak to play the drums, but I can still pray for the church. So you can still help the young people. Just being sitting next to the young people is an encouragement to them. So Anna, she spent all her life serving, praying, waiting for the Lord, because she know who she is waiting for. They have a purpose. And all their life, all they were doing is just for Jesus, the baby Jesus, the Messiah. For us, we are working in a church, we're serving our heart in worship teams, teaching Sunday schools, we're doing a lot of ministries, but we need to put our focus. Why are we doing all this? It's for Jesus. For Simeon and Anna, all their lifetime, they were serving in the temple. The waiting is all for one purpose, for Jesus. When Simeon put hold on to the baby Jesus, then he looked him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your born servant to depart in peace. Now I can go. I can die." Well, I'm sure you don't want to say that after next Monday. Well, now it's Christmas time. No, now we can die. Right? We can let us go. But for Simeon, that's all he had been waiting for all his life, just for this moment to be able to see and meet the Messiah. And once he saw that, once he got Jesus, baby Jesus, in his arms, he said that now you can release me to depart in peace. Wow. Doesn't that teach us a lesson here? So it's everything that we are working so hard in the church, in the ministry. Are we doing all this for Jesus? Or we are just doing it for ourselves? And this reminds me of a poem, Psalm 73, 25. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth." The psalmist here just echo Simeon. Or Simeon echo the psalmist, whatever. And they share the same passion, this love for Jesus. It does seem strange that so many persons become excited about Christmas and so few stop to inquire into its meaning. But I suppose this odd phenomenon is quite in harmony with our unfortunate human habit of magnifying trivialities and ignoring matters of great importance. We spend a lot of time preparing for Christmas, celebrations, banquets, but let's not forget the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus. Simeon and Anna did not forget that, and all their life is waiting for the Messiah to come. So once they got this good news, once they encounter the Messiah, and then they want to spread this good news to all the other people, which you are prepared in the presence of all people. At that very moment, he came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Both Simeon and Anna, once they encounter the Messiah, they want to spread this good news to all the other people. So Christmas is for us to share the good news. Don't keep the good news within us. Don't keep the good news within the four walls of the church. Like Simeon and Anna, once they encounter, they met baby Jesus, the Messiah, they want to spread this good news. So Christmas is a time for us to spread the good news. Last night, there are a lot of newcomers here. So we have opportunity to share our gospel with them. A lot of people only come to church once a year at Christmas time because they feel, you know, they want to come and share the joy of Christians. So it is a great opportunity for us to share the good news with them. So next week, Christmas Eve, Sunday, 24th. So it's a good opportunity for you to invite friends to come to church, or you share the true meaning of Christmas to them. And when the Lord Jesus has become your peace, remember, there is another thing, goodwill towards men. Do not try to keep Christmas without goodwill towards men. How did Simeon and Anna did it? How can they be so faithful all their life? For us, many of us, we always talk about burnout, drop out, tire out, time out, give up. After we serve for some years and then we all tire. But how did Simeon, Anna, do? Really old people. I don't know how old Simeon, but Anna is 100 years old. How can they maintain this faithfulness all their life? Won't they burn out after 50 years, 60 years? Because I see this passion in their heart for Jesus. We have to be careful. We may study a lot about the Bible. We go to Sunday school. Bible study in a small group. We like to attend seminars online, watch YouTube. We like to learn a lot about the Bible. But let us not replace that with our passion for Jesus. We need to have a passion for Jesus, like Simeon and Anna. And I really like the story of these two seniors, because I see in them not just like in Apostle Paul. So a lot of he can teach us a lot of theology about the truth, but from these two seniors, I see the life, see their passion, the love for Jesus, and it's this love and passion that make them wait all their life. So God throws open the door of this world and enters as a baby, as the most vulnerable, imaginable, because he wants an unimaginable intimacy with you. What religion ever had a God that wanted such intimacy with us, that he came with such vulnerability to us? What God ever came so tender we could touch him, so fragile that we could break him, so vulnerable that his bare, beating heart could be hurt. Only the one who loves you to death. So at Christmas time, let's show our love and passion for Jesus. We have learned a lot about him, but it is the passion sometimes that we are missing. We enjoyed the event last night, the last week's banquet, but it's a heart connected to Jesus. I really like this painting that I'm going to share with you. This is a painting of Mary and Joseph bringing baby Jesus to the temple, and Simeon holding onto the baby Jesus in his arms, and there's Anna. And while Joseph and Mary's eyes were focused on the baby, so I want to ask you, let's look at Anna. What can you tell me about Anna? We ask the people in the first row here. Ruth. She looked happy. Okay, what else? I got about 50 points here. Okay. Give me 10. She looks upward. She's not looking at the baby. Same as Simeon. Okay. So, Eddie, what else can you add? What do you see from Anna? Okay, I cannot hear you very clearly. Okay, but ask Tim now. Okay, speak louder. You're a singer. Okay. Joy, okay. Joy. Hope. I see wrinkles on her face, on her neck, her hands. She's really old. She's looking to heaven, not only at the baby, looking at heaven. She's giving thanks to the Lord. He realized that the prophecy has been fulfilled right in front of her eyes. And she seems to be a little shocked. And I see, well, she's smiling. She did not have a lot of teeth left. And he's very thankful, humility. He's thanking God for this gift. His eyes focus on God. He's very affirmative, satisfied, content, thankful. And actually, I see tears. I can almost see tears in her eye. Do you see that, Tim? And then if you look at Simon, his head is tilted up like Anna. His eyes are closed, actually. Look at Simeon. His eyes are closed. He's so satisfied, content. He's full of joy, unspeakable joy, isn't it? Unspeakable joy. Pure satisfaction. He's holding the baby very tight. So he's squeezing the baby. And he looked like he's in peace, very peaceful. Great joy. His promise, his hope is fulfilled. He's not discouraged, even his old. And I think they're so lovely. Do you agree? These two seniors are so lovely. Seniors are usually very lovely. But they don't fight with you. They don't ask for much. Seniors in at the church, they never complain. I never receive a complaint from the seniors. They just come to church faithfully. They give faithfully. They feel a spirit. They're respectful. They're faithfully waiting to see our Heavenly Father. They serve God all their life. And these are little-known characters in the Bible, isn't it? And what makes them stand out is their passion for Jesus. Today we need that passion on top, beyond our all the theology knowledge that we have. Let's pray. Father, as we're waiting for your return, not just next Christmas, but for your return when we see you face to face, help us to be like Simeon and Anna, to wait for you faithfully, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to pray, to serve, and be an example in your temple, day and night, all our life. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Norm, for the message. Let's all rise and sing Jesus, Hope for the Nation, of the Nation.
Jesus, the hope of the nation. Jesus, the comfort for all. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, a light in the darkness. Jesus, the truth in your circumstance. You are the source.
Let's pray and receive God's blessings. But as we leave this building, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of our Heavenly Father, fellowship, guidance, discernment of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and evermore. Amen. Please be seated.